Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this morning from the scripture part that we have been reading from Ezekiel 1. I'll read three verses, especially as a text verse for the sermon. Ezekiel 1, the last three verses, 26 till 28, where we read the holy and infallible word of the Lord as follows. Ezekiel 1 from verse 26. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. The theme for the sermon this morning is the glory of the Lord. Three points of attention. The first point, the Creator. The second point, the Provider. And the third point, the Ruler. So the theme is the glory of the Lord. Three points, the Creator, the Provider, and the Ruler. Thema voor de dienst van deze morgen is de heerlijkheid van de Heren. De heerlijkheid des Heren. Drie punten, de Schepper, de Voorziener en de Regeerder. De heerlijkheid van de Heren. Ezechiël ziet de heerlijkheid van de Heren. Als de Heer hem roept, terwijl hij als balling is in Babel om profeet te zijn. En dan in het visioen dat hij ziet, daar zien we iets van de heerlijkheid van de Schepper. En de heerlijkheid van God die in alle dingen voorziet. En de heerlijkheid van God die alles regeert. Congregation, it happened that there was a young man who had a desire in his heart to be used in the service of the Lord. And one day, he kneeled down and he was praying to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, use me in thy hands. Use me in a powerful way for thy service and thy glory." And after that time, the Lord gave him difficulties in his life, hard times, disappointments, tribulations, afflictions. It distressed him. He didn't like it. There was resistance in his heart. "Oh Lord, why are all these things happening to me? How can I feel thy love in this distress and hardships?" But the Lord taught him, and he had to understand more and more and deeper that the Lord was preparing him to be usable as an instrument in his hand. The Lord knows what we need, when he is going to use us and when he is going to work in our lives. And what a grace when we will trust him. And by his grace will be united to his will. "Oh Lord, I do not understand all the things that happen in my life. It feels so confusing. But I still believe that it is according to thy counsel, and that it is to my benefit, and that it is wise and good." And the deepest secret is that we, by faith, will look upon Christ, who came in the most deep distress to save from condemnation sinners that deserve eternal punishment and wrath of God. The Lord is going to prepare Ezekiel to be a prophet. He is going to call him. Chapter 2 is telling about that the Lord is calling him to be his prophet. But before the Lord is calling him, he is showing him a vision, visions, so that he will be encouraged. Because the thing that Ezekiel had to do wouldn't be easy, would be hard. The Lord was calling him to be his prophet and to preach the judgment over the people of Israel. And at the same time that there is a way of salvation, that the Lord would restore his people out of their destruction. But it would be so hard that the Lord said, well, your head has to be hard like a diamond. So hard to resist their anger about your message. And how could you do it? If you wouldn't know about the glory of God, if you wouldn't see that God is in control and ruling all things, and that he is the one sending you and giving you the words. Ezekiel is in captivity. It is in the year 593 before Christ. And we probably all know that the people of Israel, well, we talk especially about the two tribes of Judah, that they are brought in captivity to Babylon. Why? Because of their sins against the Lord. Because of their idolatry. But this captivity didn't happen all at once. At first, and that was maybe 10 or 15 years ago, there was the first part of the people taken away out of the land brought to Babylon. So, you could say the upper 10, the most important people in the land to break the strength of Israel. But after that, in the year 597 before Christ, the second group was brought in captivity to Babylon. We read about that king, that 5 years ago was brought in captivity, and now it is the year 593 before Christ, and still the city of Jerusalem and the temple are not destroyed. That would last 7 more years. So the year 586 before Christ, then there was the last deportation, the last group that was brought away in captivity, and then the city and the temple were destroyed. So in this time when the Lord is calling Ezekiel, the temple and the city is still there. So there is a deep distress, but the people have some hope. And they even try there in Jerusalem to reorganize things and had some hope that they would make it. To regain what they lost, and to be restored. But you know, it's like in our days. The solution is not in reorganizing things, so that we will do fine again economically, in our society, or in our land, or in Western Europe. The only answer is, there will be a true repentance and conversion to the Lord, and that was not found amongst the people. That is why the Lord will continue with his judgment, and they didn't expect it. They thought, well, that's impossible. That this city will be destroyed, And the temple, the house of God? No, the Lord will take care of that. We are saved because we are the chosen people of God, and they didn't repent and they didn't convert. And then at the end, the Lord brought His judgment in such a way that the temple and the city were destroyed. And like all hope was lost, so that our hope would be of the Lord. What a lessons are there in this history for us, isn't it? While we are young or while we are older, we are all people that have our idols. Everything that we pay more attention to than to the Lord God is an idol. Everything that our hearts are more full of than God and His Word and the Lord Jesus Christ is an idol to us. And how many times have we been warned by the Lord and that we would convert and return from our idols to seek God? And He has given so many powerful promises in His Word that when we seek the Lord, that we will certainly find the Lord. So how is it in your life? Did you take that Word of the Lord to your heart, young people, boys and girls? Do you seek the Lord? Or do you seek the things below? You will perish with the world if you love the world. There's a Word of God and there's a truth. And maybe you are like the people of Israel that you think, well, will not be so serious. But it happened to them. And we know for sure that the judgment of the Lord will come. And that we have to be in Christ, that only hiding place for our souls to be saved. And the Lord is sending His servants today, like He did in the time of Ezekiel. What a goodness of God. How long-suffering He is, how patient, so that we would convert. It is in the 30th year, so the question comes, what does that mean, the 30th year? Well, most probably we have to understand that it was the age of Ezekiel. He was 30 years old when the Lord called him. So remember us about the Lord Jesus. When He had His public ministry started, He was 30 years old. So the Lord is calling him while Ezekiel is there in Babylon with the captives, those that are already in captivity. It is in that time, after the second part of the people was brought there, 5 years later, so in the fifth year, the year 593 before Christ, and the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar. So the Lord is going to speak to him, going to prepare him to be His prophet, to speak to the people. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and fire enfolding itself, and the brightness was about it. So a whirlwind and a cloud, usually in Scripture, are signs of the coming judgment of the Lord. And it is coming from the north. So for Jerusalem, there was more judgment coming from the north, from Babylon. And that's what was going to happen. The Lord would send the enemy again, and the city and the temple would be destroyed. But the Lord is warning the people at forehand. And we have to see and to know that there was a connection between the people in Jerusalem and in Babylon. They would hear what happened at both sides. And here the Lord is prophesying in this vision, showing already that His judgment would be more severe. the people thought, well, there is some hope. We still do have the city, and we still do have the temple. So if we manage to reorganize, then we probably make it and regain strength, and everything will be fine again, so we can continue to live like we did. And people in Jerusalem would think, well, okay, those that are brought in captivity, they are the worst. But we are still here, so we are much better, and we will make it. And they didn't convert and repent before the Holy God. Oh, isn't that how we are? We can have a hard time. We can have tribulations and still try to manage and still not willing to break before the Lord and still have hope that we in our own strength and our own righteousness will overcome it. So those tribulations are like warning voices of the Lord, that the Lord doesn't allow sin, doesn't want sin, and that He certainly will punish in due time all those that turn their backs to the Lord. And how many do listen to those warnings of the Lord? Or are we trying what we can to work and to improve and to make it ourselves? That's how we are by nature. And how deep does the Lord need to go before we really break down before Him? Before we really spiritually die and lose hope and cry out for grace and help? Yeah, the people didn't see it. They didn't want to see it. So hard for me to accept, to acknowledge that I deserve the punishment that Christ took up on Himself when He died upon the cross, that my life is so guilty before the Holy God. I'm pretty good. I'm not the worst one in this world. I'm doing better than my neighbor, and I'll even try to do better, try to do more. And it might be that I make it, that I will be acceptable before God. And the Lord has to break down everything so that we are really aware how ruined we are, how much we ruined our lives. And the Lord is showing that the judgment would come, but at the same time, He is giving His encouragement to the prophet Ezekiel and to the people of Israel. There is a vision shown by the Lord. Out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. We remember that we read about it also in the book of Revelation. There's a lot of similarity between those two books and those visions. Four living creatures, and their appearance, they had the likeness of a man. And at the same time, they are so different. Everyone had four faces. Four living creatures. So you can think about them at four, like a square, at four corners, four living creatures. And they have four faces. One face is like a man, and one face is like a lion, and one like an ox, and one like an eagle. So at all four, the sides are faces. And they are very impressive. They have powerful feet. They have four wings. And two they use to cover themselves. It's not possible for me to explain all the details, and I have to say it's hard to understand all the details. But when you see those two wings covering themselves, we can learn there was a deep reverence shown before the Holy God. And they had powerful feet ready to go. And we see also there are hands ready to serve the Holy God. Four faces representing, could say, the whole living creation. God created everything and the whole creation is under his dominion and has to do things according to his counsel. Even those that do not really fear the Lord, they cannot do their own thing like they want, unlimited. The Lord will stop them. They cannot go farther than he allows. And he can even use them as an instrument in his hand. Like later we read that a king was used to bring the people back to Jerusalem. A heathen king. So God is showing in those four creatures the whole living creation. And there above you will see that there above is the glory of God. And when you read this chapter, it might be that you boys, girls say, well, this is difficult. What is it all about? It's so confusing. It's moving. It's changing. It's going fast like lightning. Well, that's what world history is. When we think about world history, when we see things happening, can be so confusing. Oh, what will the future bring? And then to look upward, that firmament of crystal, so you could say transparent, there to see the glory of God. And in all the confusion in this world, God is fulfilling his counsel, his plan, and that he certainly is in control, and that he is the one that has sent his Son in this world. And in whole creation, Christ is the only one that really lived of all human beings the way that God wants man to live. He is the only one that has lived a perfect life in that dedication of his heart to the Lord, his Father. In that humbly serving of mankind. In the total surrendering of himself and his life to God and to his glory. Oh, that's how we should be. And you, children of God, I'm sure you have a desire in a certain measure in your heart that your life would be like his life. That, oh, those moments in your life that you experience, that power of the Spirit overcoming all your resistance, that are those times that you feel such a full satisfaction in that dedication to the Lord. Oh, those times that you by faith experience that unity to Christ and that sweet communion with him, and that you see it, that his righteousness is yours and his holiness, and that he has united you by his Spirit to himself. Oh, that is to be man like God intended, like God created man in paradise. God is in control, boys and girls. There's a lot of confusion. Maybe you experience it in your heart and life. What is true? And what is going to happen? And what will my future bring? But, oh, that you might see everything in the hands of God. That you might see something of his glory. To trust him. To flee to him. To be saved by him. And to be guided by him. He created you. And the highest goal and the real goal and highest end of your life is to live to God, for his glory. And then things that can be so confused here will become so simple. It's only one thing that's really necessary: to know Him, to know Him more. All other things are quite unimportant. Why do I bother so much about it? And when you have seen Him, you have enough, and you want to see more of Him, our Creator. He is also the Provider. So Ezekiel, in these visions, does not only see those four living creatures representing the whole living creation, but he's also seeing wheels. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. Those four faces. And why those four? Why a lion? Why an ox? Well, you could say, well, man, as the thinking creature of the Lord, and the lion in his strength, representing animals, and an ox in his faithful service, and an eagle is impressive bird with his sharp eyes. Well, those four faces representing the four is the number of the four directions of the wind. So the whole creation is under God's dominion. But Ezekiel is seeing a wheel upon the earth by the living creature. So each creature, there's a wheel. So it's like a wagon. But it's not only one wheel. And it's impressive, those wheels, but there's another wheel in the wheel. Not a smaller one inside, but there's a wheel, and there's another one, you could see, say, it's turned 90 degrees. So when you see it moving, it looks like a ball. And the thought is, it can move in all directions. It can go forward, backward, to the right and to the left. And it even goes upward and downward. That's what Ezekiel is seeing. And when they went upon their four sides. And they turned, not when they went, they didn't have to turn. They could go all directions. All at a sudden, things can change. All at a sudden, there can and there are unexpected turns in this world history. And God above, in His glory, He is in control. He is doing that. Those wheels are moving when the creatures are moving. But God is using this creation, all creatures, to fulfill His plan and counsel. And it is by His might and by His spirit and by His power that things happen in this world history. But let me try to make it practical. Let me try to give you some examples. And it's so helpful for the people in captivity. It was so hard for them to see how they, the chosen people of the Lord, were taken out of the promised land and brought into captivity. And would they ever return? Is there hope for the future? Will God's promises about the people of God be fulfilled? And now this vision is shown to Ezekiel, the prophet, who is called to be prophet of the Lord. So it was such a hard turn in history for the people of Israel. And the Lord is showing, yes, that's how I am ruling this world history. But the wheels can go forward, but also backward. They can go to the right and to the left. They can go up and down. So what the Lord is doing now, it's not too hard for Him to restore the people, even after He will bring a more severe judgment over them to humble them. And it really, did humble them in a certain way. We know that the captivity was a turning point for the people of Israel. They all the time were so prone to make images like the people around them, but after captivity they never did that again. We never hear them making wooden images to kneel down before them. They had other sins. They fell in the pride of Phariseeism. But this thing was, you could say, healed among the people. So the Lord is doing things according to His counsel. And for us, can be so confusing. Can you imagine that the wagon, those wheels, those four living creatures, and they move so fast as lightning, and the colors, and it's so impressive and at the same time so scaring, confusing. What is happening here? If you only see those creatures and those wheels turning and moving, and if you wouldn't look up like the Lord is going to show what is up there. But let me try to make it practical with some examples. If you think about what happens in world history, if you think about what we read in Scripture, for example, you can think about Haman, the man who wanted to kill Mordecai, and he prepared everything to hang him. So that's what's going to happen, of course. He was in a powerful position. And then it seems there's all at a sudden a turn. All changed just like that in one moment because the Lord did it. So instead of Mordecai being hanged, Haman himself died there as a punishment of the Lord. One example. And how many examples are there? You think about the people of Assyria, and they want to destroy Jerusalem, and the angel of the Lord is coming, and in that night killed 180,000 of them, so that they fled away, never could destroy Jerusalem. So why discouraged, child of God? Why discouraged? If things turn in a way that it seemed to be so impossible, I understand. But is it really right to forget about this God who is in control and moving all things by the power of His Spirit? He is the one that is able to incline even the hearts of kings like a water brook, according to His will and by His Spirit. God is the one that provides. It's by His providence that all things happen in this world history. So there can be a boy this morning who thinks, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to have a nice life here. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to bother too much about the Bible. That's hard for me. I'm tired of that. Feels boring to me. I like to do my own thing. And your parents are sad about it when they are aware of it. But yeah, that's your plan. And your parents pray for you. And all at a sudden, it can be that turn that the Lord says, so far and no further. And that all your plans have to change. That you have to bow under the plan of God. He might even use you in His service in a special way, like the prophet Ezekiel, called by the Lord. And when the Lord is doing, you cannot stop. He has such an irresistible power. It might be that there's someone who feels I cannot overcome. all the depravity and corruption in my heart. Oh, is there hope for me? Could I be saved? And that sin, oh, it's so powerful. I'm so inclined to do that sin. I'm so weak. There's no hope for me. My heart feels like Jerusalem destroyed. I've ruined my life by all my sins. I try to keep up for the outside that people do not see it. But at the inside there is so much sin and so much desire for sin. And how can I be changed? It's in the hand of the Lord. And when He, by the power of His Word and His Spirit, is working in your heart, then that resistance that you couldn't overcome, He is overcoming it. He will conquer all resistance. The Spirit will work irresistibly. How does it happen? Well, that you are seeing Christ, who was sent by God in His providence, in His good pleasure, in His sovereignty, to save sinners. And there's none too deep, there's none too far away, too deep in the mud of sin. There's none who is hopeless for the Lord. He is the one that's giving the turn, and we need it all. By nature we walk away from the Lord, and we will perish for eternity if there is not that turn in our life to turn back to the Lord, drawn by Him and saved by Him, washed by His blood. And oh, what a freedom there is when that burden is taken away of your guilt and sin by the sacrifice of Christ. Do you know it? Do you seek it? And oh, when you know it, you will seek it more. That will continue till the end of your life. And oh, He is so mighty to lift you up. If you are downcast this morning, if you are discouraged, and all of a sudden He will use His Word, open your eyes, show you His love and goodness, and you will change. Satan, isn't that our hope for ourselves, our children, but also for our nation, that the Lord might show that He is in control. He is the Creator. He is the one that provides. But He is also the ruler. Let us sing. Before we continue, let us sing Psalter 353, stanza 1 till 3. 353, stanza 1. Now Israel may say, and that in truth, if that the Lord had not our right maintained, if that the Lord had not with us remained, when cruel men against us rose to strive, we surely had been swallowed up alive. 353, stanza 1 till 3. Congregation, the Lord, by His Spirit, is using also things in this world's history, and the Lord is taking care that His counsel will be fulfilled. He is ruling, wise and good. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. The Lord, and those eyes in those wheels, the Lord is knowing all things. And in the book of Revelation, we see that they represent the Holy Spirit. He is the one that is moving this world history and turning things. He was the one that was destroying the Egyptians when it seemed that the people of Israel would be destroyed. He is the one making the kingdoms of this world powerful, but also destroying them when they, in their immorality and godlessness, dishonor the Lord deeply. God is the one ruling this world history. And Ezekiel has to know that, has to see it, to proclaim the word of the Lord. There above that creation, those four creatures moving in all directions according where the Spirit is sending them, there above is a firmament. And it's like crystal, so you can look through it. And there above is the glory of God. Oh, how great to be lifted up by faith above all the confusing things of this world and to see God. You know that? Or is it your experience that when you pray that heaven is like copper, like brass, you cannot come through it? It's like closed. That's hard, isn't it? But the Lord has promised in His word that He will certainly hear. So if you experience that the heaven is closed for you, you cannot look through it with eyes of faith. You can see nothing of the goodness and the grace of the Lord. Let us search our hearts. What is there in between me and the Lord? Oh, which idol am I worshipping that is dishonoring the Lord? And if you can honestly say, I don't know, I'm a sinful man, but oh, I do not want to keep anything between God and my soul. Well, don't stop to pray. Don't stop to cry out to the Lord. The Lord has His wise reasons to test, so that we would cry more intensely with our whole heart, so that we would remember that we do not deserve that He would hear us, so that we will remember that we need Christ to be cleansed and washed by His blood, that we need the Spirit of prayer and grace to pray that we do not even know how to pray. The Lord doesn't want us to be proud about what we perform in our religion. No, He wants us to be depending on Him and to give Him all the glory. But He is there, for sure. He is there, children. Do you believe that? That God is there. When you pray, He is listening to you. You know that story of a young girl knocking at the study room of her father, a pastor. He didn't want to be disturbed. Didn't say anything. She knocked. Nothing. Nothing. Well, but then she shouted, she said, "Father, I know that you are there. And I know that you hear me." Isn't that a powerful illustration of persevering in prayer? To continue to pray. Oh, that the Lord would work that trust in your heart and that you would see something of what Ezekiel saw. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. So this is in the Old Testament, before the Lord Jesus became man. And Ezekiel is seeing the glory of God. And even also already the appearance of a man above upon the throne. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward. So it's remarkable that he is seeing there that glory as the appearance of man, but upward from the loins, it's like very impressive light, very beautiful that he is seeing. But downwards, it's different. From the appearance of its loins, even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had a brightness round about. So God is so full of glory. But at the same time, he's a holy God. He's a just God. He's a righteous God. He doesn't want me to continue in sin. He cannot accept sin, although he will accept sinners that flee to him. So in God there is his glory. And at the same time, his righteousness, like a fire consuming all sin. His beauty, that glory, that harmony, that peaceful glory of that beautiful and powerful light. At the same time, that fire consuming. Isn't that how God reveals himself in Scripture? I was thinking about what happened to the people when they left Egypt, that the Lord made it dark to the Egyptians and light to his own people. God is one. There is unity within God. But at the same time, we know he is love and light in Christ, and at the same time, he is a consuming fire against all iniquity and all sin and transgression. We should not forget that. And when we look up to the Lord, oh, you can tremble. What did you do this week? Would you like to write it on the walls of this building? What was in your mind? What you did in secret, what you watched at the internet, what you like to be revealed. But God knows all these things. And he is a holy God, a righteous God. Oh, maybe you say, "I dare not look up through that firmament to that glory of God, because there's also that fire, and I deserve to be consumed. I've sinned against God, the Almighty God. How dare I do that? Oh, what a fool I am." Oh, that we would look up that we would see how God, who is ruling this world, He is on the throne, He is ruling in mercy, and that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, and that He took His own beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and that He nailed Him to the cross, that He died as a sacrifice for sin. And there on Golgotha, we see the peace and the righteousness of God meet each other, destroying Christ, so that I can be accepted by God, destroying His own beloved Son by the fire of His holy righteousness, so that I could be embraced to be His own child. That's my hope. That's my expectation. That's my joy. That's my security. That's my peace. That is everything for me. Oh, Lord, I deserve Thy wrath. But I see that Thy wrath went over Christ, so that those that condemn themselves before Thee will be free. It's the gospel. That is the way of salvation. Ezekiel had to proclaim the judgment. But when you will read, and we hope to do that, this book, then you will also see that he will proclaim the salvation by the Lord, that he would restore his people. And not because they were good or doing better. There's no hope from them. But from his free sovereign grace and his good pleasure, he would do it. What seemed to be impossible, he would bring them back. He would rebuild the city and the temple. His Son would be born there. And that's the message that Ezekiel has to bring, even when everything seems to be lost and hopeless. So I have hope this morning for the chief of sinners, for the worst one here, for the most mean one, for the one that feels ashamed about what he did this week. So don't wait by saying, well, let me try to change my life so that I might be acceptable before God. That will never happen. That's totally impossible. You are so depraved and powerless and weak and corrupt. You should fall down now before his Savior. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it was brightness round about. But then he's seeing something else, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about in the midst of all the confusion of world history. There's God in his throne. He's a holy God. There's the consuming fire, but there's the bow of his grace and mercy, his promise and covenant. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when Christ came, he revealed the glory of God in his fullness to us in this world. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. God is going to speak to him. And when you see the glory of God, you can only fall down. Oh, then it's become so clear whom I am. Then I'm no more a good guy one that's doing pretty good. No, oh Lord, I've sinned against thee, forgetting thee many days, not loving thee with my whole heart, seeking the things below instead of the things in heaven. Oh, neglecting Christ, Lord, be merciful unto me. Be gracious unto me. Do you know that? Do you know something of that? Crying out to the Lord. Let me speak some Dutch words. De Heer openbaarde zich in zijn heerlijkheid aan Ezechiël als een God van vrede en glorie, maar tegelijkertijd een God die een verterend vuur is. En hoe kunnen wij bestaan voor deze God? Maar in Christus heeft God die twee bij elkaar gebracht. De vrede en de gerechtigheid hebben elkaar gekust op het kruis, waar Christus verteerd is onder de wraak van God, opdat wij vrede zouden vinden met God door het geloof. En dan is er maar één ding dat overblijft als we die heerlijkheid van God zien. Dat is om neer te vallen voor Hem. En dan zal Hij spreken tot ons hart, zoals Hij spreekt hier tot Ezechiël. En in Hem zullen we vinden wat de wereld ons nooit kan bieden. Een vreugde en een vrede die het verstand te boven gaat. En een heerlijkheid voor eeuwig weggelegd voor degene die Hem vrezen. O congregation, that we would fall down this morning, and He will speak to your heart. I'm your salvation alone. Boys and girls, He will guide and teach you. He will never forsake you. He will save you. How bad you are. He did it to me. So then it's possible for everybody. Amen. Let us pray together. O Lord, the people has ruined everything. Thou art sending thy word. And that's how we are. We have ruined everything. And we received the word this morning. It's about the righteousness that we do not have. We cannot stand before thee. But that is to be found in Christ. Oh, the deep harmony of knowing God by Christ, to walk in the light and no more in the darkness of sin. Lord, bless thy word to our hearts and souls. Bless it everywhere in the world. We especially pray for the people of Israel, the people of the Jews. Oh, that we might see their eyes open to see the Savior that came in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. What a miracle will it be, Lord, to thy glory. Bless thy word, forgive everything that was not according to thy holy will. And bring us together this evening in thy house, O Lord, that we might see that everything in this world history happens according to thy counsel, that thou art in control, and that whole creation is thy dominion, that thou art ruling. O Lord, help us, save us, bless us. We deserve curse, but for Christ's sake, take reasons out of thyself. Do it for thy name's sake. Remember thy covenant, O Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.